because they couldn't go along with what he's saying. Amen. So when you're just a fan, you fail to follow through with commitment because it's not what you want. See, a lot of times whenever we're just fans of Christ, when we just say, oh, go Jesus, go, when we that kind of Christian, then we fail to commit to him because he sometimes challenges us to do stuff our flesh don't want to do. Sometimes challenges us that we don't want to put no more money in the pot because we need a little bit extra for the church. But sometimes we don't want to do what he tells us to do because we try to rebuke the thing that he said do, and we know that it wasn't the devil, and we try to rebuke God. You know God is not going to tell you to forgive somebody that talked about you. You know God is not going to tell you to go over there and bless their life. Satan is not going to tell you to go over there and bless their life. But you keep saying, that can't be God because that woman don't like me. And that's right, she don't like you. But the Bible says, give them water when they're thirsty, bread when they're hungry, for this heaps hot coals upon their head. Oh, come on and say amen. In other words, in their mind, their conscience is seared, and then God can start dealing with them, and they're leave you alone. But instead of that, we avoid them in Walmart. Instead of that, we talk about them with our friends. Instead of that, we hope and wish and pray bad on them. I wish I had a few people in the house that said, preacher, you talking to us, because I'm sure talking to me. Amen. So we fail to commit. We fail to commit. Now notice what he did. He said here, he says verse 61, he says, what I said, did it what? Offend you? The word offend now is the word trip. It's scandalizo in the Greek. It's the word trip. Did what I say trip you up? Did what I say cause you to fall by the wayside? Did what I say cause you to miss the mark? Did what I say cause you to stop believing? In other words, when something trips, just think about this. When you have some internal things in your electrical box here, that if something happens, it'll trip the breaker. Right? And if it trips the breaker, that means that the power won't be able to come to the area in the building in which that breaker services, right? And so sometimes when God says something to us and we start to trip, that means that we don't have the power flowing through us because there's a disconnect in our life. Come on and say amen now. And because we don't believe, we have a disconnect.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Bell Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. This is 88.1. KAYP, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter in the 18th verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. And I want to just park there this morning because it's so rich and so laden with principles and points that we want to just make sure we do justice to the verse. If you have it, say amen. Begin reading now. Amen. 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 You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. For just a little while this morning, I want to talk about the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ. I think it is so important, my brothers and sisters, that we never forget the purpose and the meaning of what the cross is to every believer. What Jesus Christ did for this world at its best was done on the cross. Yes, sir. The cross, the cross, the cross. And I'm just not talking about any cross, because there were crosses before Christ's cross. There were crosses after Christ's cross. But I'm talking about the cross of Christ. From that cross, we get the doctrine of salvation that is given by a crucified Savior. We get the doctrine of reconciliation and peace through his blood shed on the cross. We get the doctrine of sacrificial atonement and or substitution by the cross, because it talks about righteousness, pardon, atonement, and satisfaction, all because the Savior sacrificed himself upon the cross, paying the ransom for mankind's sins. He did it because he wanted to. We were not worthy of it, but he did it because he wanted to. And so when we think about the cross, Jesus made clear in all of the things he asked us to remember, he made sure that we remembered his death. His death and his resurrection, because it is at this place that where he died would be such a monumental task for him to do, even as the Son of God. But he did it. And then 3 days later, when he rose, he was the first fruits of them that slept. And so it's important to recognize it began at the cross. We talk about the cross being the emblem of suffering and shame. And I just want to look at those two things, because first of all, when we begin to look at the fact that the Bible says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. And it says, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, there are 12 words in the negative and 12 words in the positive. There are 24 words in this verse, and they're split up evenly. But I want you to see something here, because I want you to understand that preaching and perishing and foolishness goes to the non-believer or the person who does not accept Jesus Christ by this means. On the other hand, preaching, plus salvation equals the power of God for those of us who do believe and have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the interesting things about this verse is the word perish and saved. Now, the original text tells us that this word is perishing and being saved. It is not an end all in itself. In other words, the person that is perishing is on a continual track of perishing until he has ended life and is perished. The person who is saved is saved, for the Bible talks about saved, it talks about being saved, and it talks about shall be saved. So I need you to recognize whether you are a saint or a sinner, it's a process. Somebody say process. If you're perishing, you're doing it every day. If you're saved, you're being saved every day. Now, it didn't make sense many times to those, and scholars argue about the once saved, always saved, and there are those who said, no, if you're once saved, always saved, then how is it that you could lose your salvation? Well, the truth of the matter is, they're both right. You are saved if you're saved, when you're saved. Listen, you are saved, totally saved, if you're saved. But I need you to understand that it is a process by which you continue to move into new levels of salvation. In other words, until you are through down here, God continues to reveal new levels of salvation for the believer. And so while I accept Jesus Christ and immediately become saved, I am yet being saved every day. I walk into a new truth, a new revelation, a new understanding about this Jesus Christ and what he's done for me, the benefits that he has for me. I begin to see him in a whole new light. In other words, the old folk put it this way, he gets sweeter and sweeter every day. And I need us to understand salvation in this sense gives us a continuing process until we are through down here. And so Paul is dealing here with the Corinthians, and he's making clear, because he's dealing with the Jews and he's dealing with the Gentiles, he's dealing with the Greeks. Now, to the Jews, this preaching business of the cross is a stumbling block. To the Greeks, they seek wisdom. Now, one of the things that you've got to recognize is the Greeks had a problem with this preaching of the cross because, number one, their theos, God, never died. He was who he was for all eternity. He didn't change. He didn't die. He was not moved by the human emotions and feelings of man, because their thought processes were, if they could be moved by the heart and the thoughts and emotions of man, that man had control over them rather than them having control over man. But also, they didn't believe that a theos God could be reincarnated. How could God, who is everything and eternal, come back and be recreated as something else? So their wisdom would not allow them to understand what God was doing. The Jews looked for a sign. They couldn't accept Jesus coming down, being born of a virgin, low, meek, and humble. They wanted a king that was powerful and mighty, that would change the scope of their living and their captivity and all of the things that bound them and bothered them, and that Jesus, their Savior, their Messiah, the true King of Kings, would come down and make such a difference that life, when he came, would be totally rearranged, both for them and for their enemies. Their positions would be juxtaposed because they were on the bottom now, but when the Messiah came, they'd be put on top. And so therefore, they looked for signs of wonders, signs of miracles. They were all right with him as long as he was doing miracles. They thought, well, maybe this would be the Messiah. But then many of them questioned him, say, isn't this Mary and Joseph boy? You do know how he got here, don't you? Yeah, he ain't all that holy. Yeah, so they didn't want to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was the Christ, nor did they believe that this cross preaching made any sense to them. It was a stumbling block. But thanks be to God that it is the power of God to the believer. The preaching of the cross gives us inspiration as it feeds us information about what the only begotten Son of God did for us, not that we deserved it, but because he desired to please his Father and to bring back the wandering sheep of Israel and those who would accept him as Lord back to our Heavenly Father. Jesus was the only worthy one who could live and die and rise again and sit on the right hand of the throne of God. Now listen, let's look at this emblem, the cross, this emblem of suffering. First of all, Isaiah 53 and 5 tells us, for he was wounded for who? Our transgressions. He was not wounded for his own transgressions. Keep this in mind. That's why the cross is so powerful, because he was wounded for something he did not do. Secondly, he was bruised for what? Our iniquities. Again, our foolishness, our nothingness, all of those things that we've done in our sinful carnal flesh was done of our own desire and will. He did not sin, did not know sin, did not have sin, but he became sin for us. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, his shoulders. Why? Because the correction that mankind needed to be what God needed them to be had to be through an example who could show them the right way to live, the right way to walk, the right way to talk, the right way to be and to become. And it could only happen in Jesus. And with his stripes, we, the believers, are healed. Now let me walk back through, because we're talking about suffering. Somebody say suffering. He was wounded. Wounded. The very word wounded means to pierce or to puncture the skin. There were four different areas where Jesus Christ was wounded for our transgressions, our disobeying of the law, our offending God, our turning our back on what was right. Four different areas. You remember when they put the crown of thorns on his head, don't you? The thorns punctured his scalp. Blood came running down from the punctures in the thorns in his scalp. He then had nails puncturing his hands too, and nails puncturing his feet three. But the greatest puncture came when the Roman soldier took a spear and pierced him, wounded him in the side. Blood for redemption, water for baptism, the old preacher said, came rolling down. It was the wounds for us that Jesus suffered. He was wounded. Now, okay. And then he was bruised. The word translated bruised means crushed. He was crushed. How many of you have ever eaten grapes? Or if you put them in your mouth, just roll them around there, they feel good, but you don't get the juice out of them till you what? You bite down on them and crush, and you break all the membranes on the inside of the grape that releases the juice. He was crushed inwardly from all of the stressors that he dealt with, that he endured for you and for me. There were so many things that happened underneath his skin that did not fully show up on top of his skin. But here's what you need to know. If he was crushed, then that means you know that something happened that was very uncomfortable under the skin. Then, notice again, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Now, the chastisement, that's when a parent corrects a child for wrongdoing. Jesus never did any wrong. So why was he chastised? Because he was there in our place. He was being whipped for a wrong he did not commit. And then with his stripes, 39 stripes on the back of Jesus that cut open his flesh, lacerated his flesh. All of that happening to him, not for him, but for you and for me. And listen, here's the part I want to reiterate again. By his stripes, plural, we are healed. But here's what most of us miss. This healing that Jesus Christ came to give us first and foremost was not for our bodies, but for our souls. Are you listening to me today? Listen, He healed the body, and he wants our bodies to be healed. But how many of you know more than your body, you need your soul healed? Your sin sick soul. Those stripes were inclusive of the soul and the body, but the soul was the primary reason he took those stripes. So your soul could be saved. Now, that's not enough suffering. Name some man in human history who has suffered as much as Jesus. Job, in all of his suffering, couldn't compare to the suffering of Jesus Christ. But let me move to the next one, and then I'm almost through. But I want you to stay with me, because this next one is going to be a little strange to you. The second one talks about when we say that he was ashamed. We need to look at this word shame and understand shame in the context of the real shame. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, listen to what happened now, endured the what? The cross. He endured the cross. And look at what else he did. Despising the shame. And is set on the right hand of the throne of God. Now, my brothers and sisters, look at this, because I need you to understand. Jesus endured the cross. Let me give you a helpful, holy hint as to why. One, he came to die. He was born to die. His whole purpose for coming to planet Earth was to be the substitution for man in a place that would bring him back in right relationship with God. He didn't hang on the cross as is customarily thought. Everyone that hangeth on the cross is cursed. In other words, they sinned, they had fallen short, they had messed up, says 1 Peter 2:24. Jesus didn't sin. No, no. Jesus didn't mess up. Jesus didn't fall short. So he endured the cross because he was the substitution for man. How you gonna substitute for me and you don't even go in my place? How you gonna substitute for me and not be worthy as a substitute? And so you need to realize Jesus was the best substitute God could find for mankind. So he endured the cross because he was God's best choice to save mankind. In other words, if Jesus didn't do it, nobody could. So, because he endured the cross, why? Because he knew no sin. He did no sin. But he became sin for all mankind. He endured, he pressed, he persevered for man, not for himself. Remember the joy that was set before him. I want you to get this. Was you. and me.